Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome if you're here in person. Welcome if you're watching online. Welcome to God's house, God's home, Jesus' home. You know, everybody needs Jesus and everybody needs a home to belong to. Amen? And if you're new here, you're a first-timer, you're looking for a home to belong to, we'd love you to become a part of our church family. I said the bigger the family, the better. And I love bigger. And it is great to see everyone here today. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, we're going to jump right into the Word of God this morning. And before we do that, let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's ask God's blessing. Father, I thank you that you are the Word. Just like Renee, our worship leader, said, you are the Word. You're the living Word. Help us to get this word into our heart, into our mind, into our spirit, Lord. Let the word bring life. Everywhere the word goes, it does not come back void. Let it build our faith. Let it propel us into the greater purposes of God for every individual here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tell you a story. You might have heard it before, but it's about a mom who went into her son's bedroom early in the morning, and she went in to wake him up so that he could go to church. And he said, "Son, get up. It's time for you to go to church." He said, "I'm not going." And she says, "Well, why not?" And he said, "Well, for two reasons. Number one, they don't like me. And number two, I don't like them." And she said, "Well, I'll give you two good reasons why you should go to church. Number one, you're 59 years old. And number two, you are the pastor." You probably heard that story before. I love to tell it. We're in a new series called Rise Up. And in the words of that title are words you've probably heard before, when you were a kid or maybe when you were a teenager. When your mom burst into your bedroom, it was dark, it was early, and she pulled apart the curtains and she let the light in, and you were tired and you were sleepy and you just wanted to bury your head back into that pillow. But listen, you got up because you heard these three words: rise and shine. You know, it's as if God is coming into our room today, and he's saying these words to us: rise and shine, for your light has come. The shining greatness of our Lord has risen upon you. It is a new day. We're heading into a new season. Look at it. It's springtime. It's coming. But it's not just a new season time-wise, season-wise, chronologically. I believe it's a new season in the Holy Spirit. And we got to be ready for it. I want to tell you, God has new for you. God is new for you. And so he tells us in Isaiah 43, verse 18, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a what? New thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness. I will make a way even through the toughest times in your life. I will make and rivers in the desert. Even in the driest times of your life, I will make a way. I have something new for you." A bit of background to these verses. These are prophetic writings, words of the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. And he spoke those about 700 years before Christ, before the time of Christ. And they're prophetic for the future. And these scriptures are calling upon God, on God's church of the future, to rise up on the earth. And as the prophet is seeing into the future, and he's speaking to you and to you and to you, he's speaking to us. And he's telling us to rise up in the darkness of sorrow, in the darkness of sin, in the darkness of confusion and to shine. This is the time to shine. And he's speaking to us, the church, to us who have maybe have gotten a little sleepy, a little drowsy in our love, in our faith, and we've relegated ourselves, we resigned ourselves to settle for less and to settle for little. Jesus told this parable in Matthew's Gospel chapter 25, and it's a parable about 10 virgins. Five are wise, five are foolish. And this is really talking about 10 churches and two types of Christians here. And he starts off that parable by saying these words, At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like. Now, if Jesus was here telling this story, I believe he would say this, at this time, right now, at this moment, at this hour, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet their bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. Five of them were foolish, five were wise. The foolish ones took the lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in their jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was coming a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out and meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up. They trimmed their lamps, they relit their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, what happened? The bridegroom showed up. He arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," listen to this, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is really a picture, a story about the second coming of Christ, that he could come any time, right? But more than that, it's even more than that. It's about the coming. It's missing the visitation and the coming of God to the church. The Holy Spirit's coming in his presence. We've experienced many and seen and heard about in the past history many revivals when the Holy Spirit showed up in power and many people were not ready. There is a coming visitation of God's Spirit that is coming. It is coming, and I feel it. It resonates in my spirit. And it's like God is telling us, the church and Christians, get ready, because there's a visitation of my Spirit that you just have to be prepared for it, or you will miss it. I don't want to go into detail. I could preach a whole message on it. But he says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. We need to have staying power. We need to have perseverance. We need to have an intimacy with God that is real, where we actually know God and he knows us. It's got to be real. We got to press into God in these days. We don't want to miss the coming visitation, the next visitation of God's presence and power. He's here already, but there's a movement of God in the Spirit that's coming. Proverbs 6, verse 10. Say, so how long are you going to laze around doing nothing? How long before you get out of bed? A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you not know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life, poverty, your permanent house guest. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a lion, scarcity like an armed beggar. You know, the Bible is a constant revelation of who God is, right? But it's also a constant revelation of who we are. The Bible, as you read, is constantly trying to tell you who you are. He's trying to tell you that if you're a believer in Christ, then you are a new creation. You are born again. That you are a new creation. The old is past. What has come? The new has come. That if you're born again, you are born of imperishable seed, indestructible seed. You know, you will never die. You will live forever. You are imperishable. You are indestructible because you were born of imperishable seed, the living word of God. And the Bible is always trying to tell us that we were born for not for our purpose, but for whose purpose? God's purpose. To advance his purpose, to live for his glory. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Praise God. We have a future. We have a destiny. We've got pathways prearranged, predestined for us to walk in. Amen? How many people are alive in the world today? The population is growing like mad. Today, there is approximately 7.9, almost 8 people, 8 billion people who are alive on the planet today. And each one of them is unique. Each one is significant. Each one is blessed with an abundance of potential. Listen, you have strengths. You have hidden talents. You have abilities that are not just for your own benefit, but they're for the purposes of God. They're meant to be used for God's purpose. I want to tell you, from the day that you were born, God's been he's been working out his purposes in you. Even though you might think my life has so been messed up and I've kind of lived my own way. Listen, God's been working in your life to bring out his purpose in you. That's what the scripture says, Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill what? His good purpose. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been what? Called according to his purpose. You've been called to live for God's purpose. It's the reason why you exist. It's why the church is still here. I want to tell you, God created you to be you. So don't waste your time trying to be somebody else. Instead, celebrate who you are. Celebrate who you are. And pay attention to what you're listening to what you're hearing. Who are you listening to? Cultivate what you have, your gifts, your talents, your ability, your time. Develop what's inside of you, your passion, your intimacy, your love, and the nature of Christ within you. Do those things. Maximize the opportunities that God gives you. Walk through the doors that God opens for you. Amen? God created you to be you. Last week, or maybe it was last week or the week before, I preached about the unlimitedness of God. And I said that, I quoted that scripture where the Bible says that he has given us everything that we need. Everything that we need for this life and godliness, to live a godly life. God is unlimited to us. He holds nothing back. Do we agree with that? I believe one of the greatest things that God has given us, apart from salvation through Jesus Christ and faith in God and in him, is this. It's the power to choose. God has given us the power to make our decisions, the power to choose. And I believe that if we're going to rise up in these times, we need to make some choices. I want to give you two choices that I'm going to challenge you on giving today. I'm going to give you today. Number one, choose to be a participator, an initiator, and not a spectator. As Christians, we are not to be bystanders We're not called to be bystanders in the story of our life. We're called to be participators. See, you and I, we get to choose our responses to the negative things, the adversity that we face in life. Isn't that right? We get to choose how we're going to respond. And we also get to make our own decisions. God does not make decisions for you, does he? You decide whether you're going to accept Christ into your heart or not. You decided whether you're going to get out of bed this morning. You made the right choice. You decide everything. God gives you the right to make every decision that you have to make. He wants to influence you, but you make that decision, don't you? You make that decision. So today I want to encourage you, as we head literally into the second quarter of 2022, rather than letting the bad experiences, the circumstances, and what other people say about you dictate your life, dictate your future, you decide what your life is going to be. You decide to live a life not dictated by the environment around you. You decide to live a life of faith, a life of joy, right? And a life of vision. You decide. God gives us, you and me, the power to participate, to initiate, to determine the possibilities and the potentials of your life. So, question, how do we do that? I'll give you a great suggestion. Start by putting God first in everything. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Matthew 25:35. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Whatever is first in life, whatever is first in life sets the precedent for everything that follows, right? If your job is first, then everything else is subjected to the priority that you put on your job. If making money and being rich is first, well, then everything, that sets the precedent for everything that you do in your life, right? If your family or another person is first place, well, then your life is affected by that priority. Here's another one. If politics is first, then I feel sorry for you, you know? Then everything flows out of your political views. And I tell you, everyone has a view today about politics, don't we? What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And what happens? Everything that you need in life flows into your life because of that first priority. When you rise up, when you take action, when you participate, you literally determine the possibilities of your life. Here, give you a good example. Being a part of church opens up things, possibilities in your life. When you join a small group, what happens? You open yourself up to like-minded people, and you open yourself up to new friendships. When you join a team, a serving team, we need you to serve. We need more people on our teams to serve. But when you do that, suddenly, instantly, you become a part of something bigger than yourself, right? When you bring your family to church, what happens? You set the course of your family to follow God in the generations ahead. What a great thing that you are doing. See, all these things, they can impact you and they impact others around you. And when you do stuff like that, you set yourself in motion and you get moving forward. So, choose to be a participator and not a spectator. Second choice. enemy sees. But what does God see? You know what God sees? Live big. Live big. Be strong. Walk by faith. You know, be of good courage. You know, you can look back in life and say, I am so glad that I chose big. I'm so glad I didn't shrink back and give in to fear and hesitation and let that control my life. I am so glad. Listen, when you don't take risks, when you don't take risks, when you constantly play it safe in life, when you give in to fear, you will end up living a smaller life. I believe we can allow limitations to keep us down, keep us small. Internal limitations within us, that's when we create the possibilities. Greater possibilities are created for us. Listen to this scripture. I love this rendition in the Message version. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 11 to 13. Paul is speaking to the Christians, Corinthians. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from where? Within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Wow. What a great scripture. So true. We all have these voices in us that say, oh, your life doesn't really matter. I mean, you're just one out of a billion anyway. Right? That's what we keep hearing. And listen, you all through your life, you're going to keep hearing these voices that are trying to make you small. But what does God say? What does God say here? God says stuff like this. You are fearfully and wonderfully created in my image. You're my workmanship. I have chosen you. I've chosen you. I've called you out of darkness into my marvelous light. Is God trying to make you small? Is God trying to make you feel small? Of course not. He's trying to build you up, get you going. Ephesians 3, verse 20. This is a great verse. Listen to this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Okay. God's power to work in our lives is only limited by our ability to receive his power. Our ability, our capacity, it says it right here in the scripture, is according to his power at work in us. We know that God can do anything. God can do all things. He can do anything more than we can imagine. But it's according to the power at work within us. This verse is a verse that is a conditional promise of God. It has conditioned to it. Point number two. So much of what God will do is according to us. You can't do what God can do, but you can do what you can do, right? For example, Psalm 81 verse 10 says, "Open wide your mouth and I will fill it with good things." Question, what would happen if we did not open our mouth? In Matthew's gospel, there's a story of two blind men. They heard that Jesus was coming. So they just chased him. They just kept following him. They followed him right into his house. And they said, "Lord, we want to see. We want to see." And Jesus asked them this question, "Do you believe? Do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe this?" Matthew 9, verse 29. Then he said these words, "Okay, then according to your faith, let it be done to you." They had faith, they believed, they received their sight. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, this is the New King James Version, says, "He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Big question. What First of all, here's the list. It's the power to choose. I believe it's one of the greatest powers that God has given us. It's also the power of thought, the power of right thinking. What does Proverbs say? "And as a man thinketh, so he is." God gave you this thing called the brain, right? To think, to evaluate, to understand, to gather knowledge, to make right decision, to monitor what's happening in your life, to evaluate what's happening, and to adjust your life accordingly, according to his word, right? He's also given us the power of prayer. Prayer is so powerful. We have a direct line to the throne room of God, and it's 24/7. Use that line. How about the power of generosity? He's given us the power of generosity. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. We have power to obtain through our generosity. How about the power of vision? He's given us the power of vision to see and imagine a better future, a better life for yourself, for your family. The power of words. Words are so powerful. Words, we have power to speak the right words. We have power to speak truth. I can preach a message on that just alone. But the power of faith. The power to believe God, even for the most impossible things. And last but not least in this list is we have power of Holy Spirit. He's not just with us. He's literally inside of us. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. He's given us Holy Spirit. Listen, we are not powerless. We are not stuck. God didn't leave us on our own. We know that God is able, and we serve a big God. Let me tell you, God wants you and I to live a big life. He wants you to be open and engaged and active in your faith and your life. You know, God wants you to have big faith, big vision, and to pray big prayers. Amen? You know, and God wants to literally put you into this world and integrate you into this world to be salt and light in this world. And you know what? God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow relationally. He wants you to grow spiritually. He wants you to grow emotionally. He wants you to grow physically. And yes, he even wants you to grow financially. He wants you to prosper. And so we are not powerless. He's given us the ability. He himself is so great, so big, and God wants us to be participators. So what does he do? He invites us to partner with him in the greatest endeavor the world has ever seen. So great, he called it the Great Commission. And he invites us to rise up from the limitations that circumstances, the devil, and other people put on you, to rise up and to shine. Saints, no, church, this is the time, this is the season that we, as a church, as an individual, we rise up and we let our light shine for Jesus. It's time to shine. It's the time. It's your time. It's your turn. You were born for such a time as this. This is the moment to shine. How are we going to do with that? Listen to these. Listen to this. In a world covered by the darkness of violence, anger, rage, shine with Jesus' light of love and peace. In a world that's drowning in the darkness of suffering and sickness, shine with Jesus' light of healing. In a world steeped in the darkness of deception and religion, be filled with the light of Jesus' truth. In a world inundated with the darkness of immorality, shine with Jesus' light of purity. We're called to be a holy church. In the midst of life's dark storms, where people are about to be crushed on the rocky shores of this life, they can look up and they could see his light in us and they can find their way home. Amen? Listen, we are the lighthouse on the shore. We are the city on the hill. We are the light of Jesus to the world. Amen? And we serve a big, big God. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Jesus. I believe that God's not saying that our life will be perfect, but I believe that he's saying that you can count on him to help you to live a bigger, better life. You can count on him for the power to raise you above the circumstances in your life. You can count on him on the power to help you live out the purposes for which he created you. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that you have possibilities, opportunities, ministries, and businesses for us in this season, in this year ahead. And Father, so we choose, we decide to make choices that will move us ahead in our lives. So we ask for the courage, we ask for the abilities to, and even the heart and the passion to take a hold of life, to take risks, and to not play it safe in life. We ask for the ability and the courage and the unction to live by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. We just keep your heads bowed for just a couple of minutes here. You know, you might be here today, and I want to pray for someone. I want to talk to someone. Maybe you've never personally invited Christ into your heart. I want to tell you, this is the day to do that. He wants to literally take the old in your life and make it new. He wants you to experience a life where there's abundance in your life. Not an easy life, but a life of abundance. And he'll give you the power to live that. This is your day to put your faith in Jesus Christ. This is your day to invite him into your heart. This is your day to ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life. And if that's you, I want to lead you in this life-changing prayer. Will you pray this prayer with me? If you want to receive Christ, you want a new start, you want a new beginning, you want the gift of eternal life, pray after me. Jesus, I believe in you. And I believe that you shed your blood on the cross to pay for my sins. Please forgive me of all my sins. And today, Lord, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, I ask. Amen and amen. Now, we'll just keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you said that prayer for the very first time, will you raise your hand and just raise your hand so I can see? Just wave it high, quickly. Amen. If you said that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. And if you said that prayer online, press that little hand at the bottom. We want to connect you to someone you could talk to. And if you said that prayer, you're sitting here, I want you to go back and go back to that lamp there. It's called the Wacom Lounge, and someone will tell you what your next step in your faith walk with God is. It's the greatest decision you've ever made. If you made that decision, congratulations. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family of God too. Amen. Amen.